Folks, today's study is number 29 in our series of studies dealing with Bible controversies, or doctrines about which Christians commonly disagree simply because they aren't dispensational when they read or study the Bible. That is, they don't rightly divide the word of truth like we're told to do in 2 Timothy 2:15, and therefore they so often fail to keep the things that pertain to God's program and dealings with Israel separate and distinct from his new and different program with us today in this dispensation of his grace. Folks, this, as we've been seeing, is a big problem in so many areas, and especially so when it comes to what the Bible teaches regarding God's use of spiritual phenomena like signs, wonders, miracles, and the giving of spiritual gifts. All sorts of spiritual phenomena were common and expected in God's program with Israel, but not so today in this dispensation of grace. God is dealing with us differently today, and his use of spiritual phenomena, including the giving of spiritual gifts, ceased, came to an end, when the completed, written Word of God came into being with the end of the Apostle Paul's ministry. The completed, written Word of God, the complete revelation of the knowledge God wants us to have, is the more excellent way Paul described in 1 Corinthians 13. And as he teaches in that passage, and as we've seen, when the perfect, complete knowledge from God arrived, it would replace and do away with the need for God to give spiritual gifts. Now, folks, as we've been seeing of late, that which is perfect has arrived. The more excellent way has come, and it has replaced the less excellent, childish way of God doing things by means of giving spiritual gifts. In Paul's later and last epistles, he declares the issue of God's complete revelation of knowledge now being in our possession. And as we want to see in today's study, he also declares the reality of God having done away with giving spiritual gifts, just as he promised he would do in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, folks, to resume our examination on this matter, take your Bibles with me, if you will, and turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. We were actually looking at this passage at the conclusion of last week's study, as we were focusing our attention upon the fact that with Paul's later ministry, as he was in prison and writing his final epistles, he was declaring the fact that he was completing the Word of God. He was fulfilling the Word of God. That which was perfect, therefore, was arriving, and the saints were in possession of the complete, full revelation of the knowledge of God that he wants us to have throughout this dispensation of grace. I want you to look with me here in Colossians chapter 1 at some verses we noted last time, and then we're going to look at some others here in this passage that we didn't get a chance to look at. We'll also consider a couple of other passages in Paul's later and last epistles, and then I want us to focus upon the things that Paul says in these epistles in which he declares the reality of the spiritual gifts being done away, just as God said they would in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But here, first of all, in Colossians chapter 1, look with me once again at what Paul says about himself and his ministry at this time, as he's in prison at this stage in his ministry. Colossians chapter 1, at the end of verse 23, Paul refers to himself and his ministry. And then he says in verse 24, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Notice once again here in this passage, Paul refers to filling up and fulfilling something two times. In verse 24, he talks about the fact that now in connection with his sufferings and what he's going through as the prisoner of Jesus Christ, that he is filling up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in his flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And then he goes on and declares the information that he is now dealing with as the one to whom the dispensation of God was given. And he says in verse 25, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. The information the Apostle Paul was communicating at this time, as he's writing these epistles from prison as the prisoner of Jesus Christ, was fulfilling the word of God. He's not only filling up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in connection with his sufferings at this time, and bringing those, therefore, to a level of fullness, but as he says there in verse 25, he's fulfilling the word of God. Folks, that's what was going on at this time in this last stage of Paul's ministry. That which was perfect, that he described back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that was coming, the complete full revelation from God that wasn't there at that time he wrote 1 Corinthians, but it was coming. Now, while he is in prison here in Rome and filling up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ, he's also fulfilling the word of God. The information that's being given to him and that he is communicating and writing down in written form is completing, perfecting the word of God. In fact, the word that's used here in verse 25 that's rendered fulfill is the same concept that's back there in 1 Corinthians 13 when Paul referred to that which is perfect, the antithesis of the partial knowledge, the perfect knowledge. And he's providing for that once again here now as he describes it in Colossians chapter 1. And he goes on in verses 26 and verse 27 and he describes the category of knowledge that is actually fulfilling the word of God. It's not simply the revelation of the mystery that was committed to him for and about this dispensation of grace, but the capstone piece of information is the issue regarding the riches of the glory of this mystery program that's now in effect. And it's the riches of the glory of it that Paul's writing about, especially in these epistles he's writing from prison, especially Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. He goes on, therefore, in verse 26 and says, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known. And that's what he's saying is it's God's will to make known now as he's writing these epistles here. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory? That's the category of doctrine, the category of revelatory information from God that fulfills the word of God, that provides for the perfect knowledge and the capacity to go on to perfection and to become the perfect man, fully educated man, as we saw last time in Ephesians chapter 4. This is the particular category of doctrine that provides for that capacity and allows us, therefore, to have the full knowledge that God wants us to have about his Son and to have all the wisdom and all the spiritual understanding and all the insight and perception grow up into him in all things. And once again, in the last two verses here of the chapter, Paul describes that's what he's engaged in doing in his ministry at this time. Whom we preach, he says, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the provision, once again, that's there now that which is perfect has arrived. Come on down here, though, into chapter 2 of Colossians, if you would, for a moment, and notice that as Paul continues on in chapter 2 here, especially as he describes the conflict, he says, that he's engaged in when it comes to accomplishing this goal, this objective of full education. And it's a conflict especially with the satanic policy of evil that he described back in Ephesians chapter 4, where he described that it's Satan's desire to keep members of the church and the body of Christ as children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and not appreciating what they've got in the completed revelation from God. Paul goes on here in chapter 2 and he says, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid, he says, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Notice once again there the underscoring Paul makes in verse 2 upon the issue of all riches of the full assurance of understanding. And then in verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Once again, at the time Paul is writing Colossians here and dealing with the full revelation that God wants us to have as members of the church, the body of Christ, and the word of God is being fulfilled by Paul at this time, as he declared back there in verse 25, he naturally, therefore, talks about all wisdom, and talks about the issue there of all riches, of the full assurance of understanding. But notice once again in verse 3, he says, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In connection with what the Apostle Paul is setting forth at this time, there's nothing more that God is going to provide as far as treasures of wisdom and knowledge are concerned. The Word of God is being fulfilled, completed. All those treasures of wisdom and knowledge that Paul described back in 1 Corinthians 13 that the Corinthians weren't possessors of yet at the time he was writing that, but it was coming. Now here in these prison epistles in particular, the declaration is being made that the possession of all those treasures of wisdom and knowledge through the completed Word of God, they are now the possession of the members of the church, the body of Christ. Come with me now, if you would, over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's look at the last epistle the Apostle Paul wrote, and note here in 2 Timothy, Paul declaring the very same type of things to Timothy. Pick it up here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would, at verse 14. Paul tells Timothy, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Paul's talking about what Timothy is being left with now at this time. Paul himself, as he goes on to describe, he's finished his course and he's ready to depart. But Timothy is being left with the complete revelation from God and the more excellent way that God has designed things to function for the balance of this dispensation of grace. And Timothy needs to understand and appreciate that. And Paul here in the latter part of chapter 3 is really commending that to him. He tells him he has once again the things from the Apostle Paul that he's been taught and has learned. In fact, he's got them in the epistolatory form that we have them in also today. And Timothy is told to continue in those things. And he has the Holy Script. He's known from a child. By the time 2 Timothy is written and Timothy's possessing it and he fulfills what Paul asks him to do in chapter 4, coming to him and bringing the books, but especially the parchments, Paul and Timothy put the whole Bible together, and Timothy is left in the with the possession of the completed written Word of God. And Paul's able to say, therefore, to him in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. With Timothy possessing the completed written Word of God, he's got everything he needs as the man of God that he is to be perfect and to therefore be truly furnished unto all good works. That's a marvelous statement once again about the issue of the completed revelation from God and the full ability for the completed Word of God to accomplish everything God has designed to get accomplished in this dispensation of grace. You don't need anything more than what you're truly furnished with all Scripture. Look down a little later on here to chapter 4, if you would, for a moment, and notice that as Paul kind of signs off in connection with his ministry, notice in verse 6 he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." As he kind of signs off, like I said, in connection with fulfilling his ministry, notice down at verse 16 and 17, he says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Once again, it's just as Paul said back in Colossians 1, in connection with the ministry committed to him to fulfill the Word of God, as he declares here in verse 17, "that by me the preaching might be fully known." The Apostle Paul didn't die without the preaching being fully known. And therefore, just as we talked about and have talked about in previous studies in connection with this, it was in the very lifetime of the Apostle Paul, as well as in the very lifetime of the Corinthians Paul wrote to in 1 Corinthians 13, that the spiritual gifts would be done away, having been replaced by that much more excellent way, that which is perfect having arrived, the full knowledge, the full revelation of the knowledge God wants us to have in this dispensation of grace. It came, and the Apostle Paul could not have departed off the scene. His course could not have been finished without that preaching being made fully known. And he declares in his very last epistle here now, 2 Timothy, the accomplishment of it. Well, folks, in view of this, just as we've seen back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when that which is perfect came, when the more excellent way arrived, God promised he would do away with giving spiritual gifts. And not only in Paul's later epistles and last epistle do you find him declaring the reality of that which is perfect having arrived, but likewise with that, you also find him indicating and manifesting the fact that the spiritual gifts have been done away. While you're here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, look down to verse 20 and notice something very interesting that Paul says by way of a personal remark. But it's a personal remark that manifests the fact that the spiritual gifts that had been in operation were no longer in operation in accordance with the completed revelation from the written Word of God now being in possession. Look down to verse 20, like I said, and Paul says here, "Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." Paul was with Trophimus while he was sick there, and Paul had to leave him there at Miletum, sick. And yet Paul, earlier on in his ministry, had the gifts of healing, and he healed people constantly. And yet at this stage, the last part of his ministry, Trophimus had been with him while he was at Miletum, and even before Paul wrote 2 Timothy, he no longer had the power to heal anybody. And he left Trophimus there, sick. The spiritual gift of the gifts of healing that he had possessed had been done away with. And he knew why, just as he had declared back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Come back earlier on, and you'll notice that even when Paul wrote 1 Timothy, the gift of healing was gone, had been done away with. Come back to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and notice something the Apostle Paul says to Timothy here. 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, Paul says, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and for thine often infirmities." Timothy has some stomach problems and other often infirmities, physical weaknesses. And yet Paul did not tell Timothy to go find someone who's got the gifts of healing and get healed. Timothy couldn't do anything about it himself. And Paul was not able to do anything about it. What Paul had to do was to prescribe some medicine for Timothy. Even at this stage, when 1 Timothy was being written, the gift of healing had been done away with. While you're still here in 1 Timothy, come back to chapter 3. Notice something here that ought to ring a bell with what we looked at last time in Ephesians chapter 4 about the fact that the spiritual gifts that Paul described there that God had given when it came to providing for the revelation of knowledge he wanted us to have, that Paul described those gifts as having had been given in the past tense. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul says, "And he, Christ, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." He gave them. He didn't say that he was still giving them once again. And of course, Paul, back in that passage, as we noted last time, also even cited the very time at which Christ gave them. When he ascended up on high, he gave them. But the issue is, he wasn't still giving them. He had given them, and as Paul was declaring there in Ephesians chapter 4, they were accomplishing their objective, and the finality of their objective was now being reached, as he wrote Ephesians chapter 4. Well, in perfect accordance with that, when you come over here to the pastoral epistles, especially a passage like 1 Timothy chapter 3, but also Titus chapter 1, when it comes to the issue of those who are going to function as pastors, bishops, overseers in a local assembly, Paul doesn't talk about the issue of God giving that individual, that man, a gift. Paul comes along and dedicates an entire passage to describing the issue of the spiritual qualifications such an individual needs to meet before he could use the office of a bishop. And even the office of a deacon has to have spiritual qualifications that come from edification, not from the imparting of a spiritual gift. And it's a fascinating passage here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in which that issue is dealt with. Just note a couple of things here, though, in 1 Timothy 3. Verse 1 says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." Paul doesn't talk about the man being given a gift from God, or in fact, the word gift is never even used in the passage. Paul talks about a desire that arises within the man, and that desire coming from being part of a local church that functions properly, and God's word effectually working within the man and producing the desire. And then he describes the issue of the good work, therefore, that the man is desiring, and then goes on to describe the fact that the man must be blameless, and lists an entire list of spiritual edificational qualifications that the man has to meet. And these are spiritual edificational qualifications that aren't given as the result of any gift, but are the result of the effectual working of God's word operating within the man. And they've produced edification that manifests itself by these things that Paul goes through and cites here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And that itself is a bold testimony to the fact that no one was being given the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher any longer. No one was miraculously being given the ability to function in a supernatural way without having study and so forth like that involved. This now, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and the similar type passage in Titus chapter 1, these are the passages that describe how someone is going to be qualified to function in the office of the bishop, the pastor of an assembly, throughout the balance of this dispensation of grace. And the reason why is because, just as Paul taught back in Ephesians chapter 4, the gifting was a past tense issue that only functioned at the beginning of this dispensation of grace until the completed revelation from God, the completed word of God, was possessed, and then the spiritual gifts would be replaced by it, and the completed revelation from God would effectually work within and provide for the accomplishment of the operations of God. Folks, there's other things that we could look at that manifest the fact that the spiritual gifts, as promised in 1 Corinthians 13, were done away when the completed revelation from God arrived. In fact, at the beginning of every one of Paul's, what we call, prison epistles. Ephesians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, those passages where the Apostle Paul describes the issue of being in prison. It's that itself is a testimony to the fact that there were no more miraculous releases from prison taking place. You can go back into the earlier part of Paul's ministry in the book of Acts, as described, for example, in chapter 16, and there's a miraculous release from prison there in Philippi that took place. And that's perfectly in accordance with what was going on at the beginning of this dispensation of grace, when the miracles and the wonders were in effect and had an objective to meet. But now that which was perfect was arriving, as when Paul was in prison in Rome, as he writes Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and when he writes his last epistle and is back in prison again in 2 Timothy, there's no miraculous release at all. Even though the Lord stood by him, as Paul said, the Lord did not release him from the prison. And the reason why is because God was fulfilling exactly what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The spiritual gifts were done away, and he was no longer in the business of performing spiritual phenomenon. Actually, folks, as you're in Paul's later epistles, the only spiritual phenomenon the Apostle Paul continues to talk about is the issue of the satanic counterfeits. And that's what continues on as far as spiritual phenomenon is concerned after the completed full revelation from God arrived, after the Apostle Paul's ministry came to a conclusion with the fulfilling of the written Word of God. Now, we don't have any more time in this broadcast to examine that issue, although I want us to look at it at the beginning of our next study, and also in connection with our next study as we bring this particular Bible controversy to a conclusion. We also want to look at the way in which God's power operates today in the dispensation of grace. There's a more excellent way in which God's power operates today than by having him perform signs, wonders, miracles, or give any spiritual gifts or perform any spiritual phenomena. But folks, this brings us to the close of today's broadcast. I'm glad you're able to join us, and I certainly hope once again you'll be able to join us next week at the same time. Now, if you would like a cassette tape copy of today's study or a listing of available literature and tapes to help you understand and enjoy the Bible, all you need to do is send us a note with your request. The number of today's study to request is number 148.